deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for the Big Scary Show.
This is Kathy Schieferstein of the Midwest Haunters Convention, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Dark Photography, and this is the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Katie Lane, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show from Darkside Acres at the MHC Free Tour.
This is Linda from Bucky's Boneyard, talking to you from the Big Scary Show.
Hi,
this
is Denise from the Realm of Darkness in Pontiac, Michigan, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Wendy Ferris. I'm from St. Rita Haunted House in Evendale, Ohio, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Michelle Arroyo with Special Effects Woman Productions out of Colorado, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This week, on a very special Big Scary Show, the four hosts continue to recap the Midwest Haunters Convention 2012. We hit the trade show floor, the convention center, the hotel, even the body painting room. The Round Table of Terror gets in touch with its feminine side as we welcome two very special guests to talk about the role of women in the haunt industry. The Unknown Scare Actor makes you face your fears yet again. Storm continues his ranting in a haunt minute. And debuts Elevator Confessionals. The Haunt Rocker spins a trio of female-fronted bands. Badger reads the news. All this and much, much more on a very, very special Big Scary Show.
Greetings, it's Storm, checking in on the first leg of travel to Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio. I'm bringing my girlfriend Allison for the first time to the convention. Yay.
Hello.
Coffee to Consciousness Radio is really off, and I'm contemplating the habits of the...
You said radio and not ratio.
Good point. Good point. Coffee consciousness ratio. And, you know, contemplating the habits of the birds that live in the airport, because we're watching two of them walking around eating all, like, the muffin and bagel crumbs. And I'm sure they live off of Cheerios most of the day. But, so we're getting ready for our flight. I called the cab way too early, but we're here, so that's better than not being here. And, in the meantime, we'll wait for boarding, and I'll see if I get any more insane calls from bus number 2, the German Steve Memorial bus on a tour. So we'll probably have some details on that from Badger and Jerry Vane. So catch you later.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger once again live at the Midwest Haunters Convention. I'm actually not at the convention right now. I'm at the Costume Vault. We're just making a quick stop here before heading over to the Scaratorium for the Friday night bus tour. And I happened to run into this guy. Well, actually, I got a ride with him and the Wolf Brothers, but we'll get into that later. This is a very, very cool new product that could revolutionize the world of makeup. This is Joe Glenn. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
And tell us about this revolutionary new product and that you are really kind of rolling out here at the Midwest Haunters Convention. It's the first time the general public's been able to buy this stuff. What is this really, really cool invention that you've come up with?
Imagine taking latex and whipping it to the consistency of like whipped butter or whipping cream. And you can use
I'm trying to imagine that. I'm not having a really good success because a product like that just does not exist, right?
It does now.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, started about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been in the haunt business for the last 10 years. I've done makeup all through the haunts, just a little bit of everything.
Right.
And I was looking for something. I got tired of doing the cotton buildups, the tissue buildups. I wanted something to make it easier to hide edges, use as basically a utility item in the makeup kit. And you can use it alone. You can use it with prosthetics, cuts, wounds, whatever. You can even make your own out of it.
So this is kind of a new type of latex that you've discovered.
Yes.
And you basically, you spread it on your skin. And how long does it take before it's ready for use?
It dries so fast because it works off your body heat.
So you're saying what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
2 to 3.
Depending no, come on now. Depending this on isn't how- some infomercial where I'm supposed to act all, you know, freaked out. No, I don't believe you. Prove it type of thing.
If I could show the radio clock.
Oh, this goes. This translates great to radio. So come on, let's keep going here.
Basically what happens is it dries with the body heat on your skin. And it's an ammonia-free product. So I really don't say use it up around your eyes. I have people who do.
It's at their own risk, of course.
At their own risk, of course. But it has a really cool consistency. It's really easy to use. It takes someone who's never really done a lot of makeup or worked with wounds, cuts, or anything like that, and gives them the opportunity, hey, I can actually do this.
So you're saying basically you could just put a little bit of the stuff on your arm, and in 2 to 3 minutes you can make a deep scratch in it or make a bite mark on it, and then it's ready for painting?
Actually, even less time than that, because you want to work with it when it's still a little bit pliable.
Okay.
And use just a cotton swab. You want to do bite marks, vampire bite marks with True Blood and everything. I had people last year come to the store and they wanted bite marks done, so I used it on them. And it was real quick and easy. Touch it with an airbrush or any type of makeup, and it holds really nice to it.
So you said last year. Did you just use this for yourself last year as kind of a test market, and now you're kind of rolling it out on a larger scale?
It's been actually in existence for about 6 years.
Okay.
I came up with it. I used it at my haunt. And then I do makeup on the side at our local haunt stores and different things. And people wanted to try it. And I was like, sure. So I've used it. It's been tested. It works great. Obviously, if you have an allergic reaction to latex, it's not for you.
Okay.
But it works really good.
Cleanups. But so when I'm hearing the stories about this, it's kind of the big MHC rollout. What does that mean?
It's the first time it's actually available to be bought. At HauntCon, I rolled it out in a class. I gave everyone a sample to try and play with.
What was the reaction to that?
Where can I get more of this? And they can get it through me. You can reach me on Facebook, Joe Glenn, 2 N's on Glenn, and shoot me a message. My picture is a bottle of zombie skin.
Are you in the process of developing a website or a catalog and all that?
I have a website in the works. We're also doing photo shoots right now with models on the different techniques for making deep scratches in someone's back all the way up to putting on prosthetics.
So will there be like a DVD instructional type video thing?
In the works. It's in the works.
Very cool.
The response has been so overwhelming, I'm trying to play catch up now. I wasn't sure how it would really be accepted into the haunt community.
Right.
And I'm just totally blown away by it. The Wolf Brothers are behind it, and everyone who's seen it and used it is just all about it.
With several different other makeup groups besides the Wolf Brothers at Midwest, are you going to be showing this product to them as well and getting their reaction, or are you strictly working with one or two different people?
Actually, Evil Fire Wizard, they carry the product. They were the first company to actually buy into it and start carrying it. So those guys have that at all the other conventions. They actually have some here that I'm probably going to have to buy back off them.
So for anybody who's looking to get a can of this, check this out for themselves, or a jar of this, I should say, what is the best way for them to find out how to get a copy of their own zombie skin latex?
Okay, the best way to get a hold of me right now, because the website's not up yet, be checking zombie-skin.com. Okay. Then the next 6 to 8 weeks, we should be up and get me.
Which will be about the time this airs, probably.
Oh, perfect. That's even better. So it's coming. Facebook, Joe Glenn, that's probably one of your best ways to get in touch with me. Or catch me at the convention. I'll be hitting them all.
So you'll be hitting some after this, going to some of the regionals and stuff, because this is the last big convention we all know of the season. So zombie-skin.com is the website that we should be looking for
this. Yes.
Fantastic. Joe Glenn, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to see some of this in action. I'm assuming some of those products will be used at the Scaratorium tonight.
I have some with me.
Fantastic. Going to be looking for that. Once again, Drew Badger here with Joe Glenn and his revolutionary zombie skin makeup, zombie-skin.com, here at the Midwest Haunters Convention Friday night bus tour, and I am out.
Greetings, Haunters. Are you ready to face your fears?
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Normally you hear my segment towards the end of the show, kind of building up to that old fear thing. But this time I had to address it at the beginning of the show, because as you heard our ghostly announcer say, we're going to get in touch with our feminine sides during the Round Table of Terror. Well, the fear we're going to face this week, most of us are going to face this week, is none other than gynophobia, the fear of women. Women are becoming more predominant in this business, as they are in many other businesses, but in the haunt business in particular, more and more women are becoming predominant, and more they are being seen as equals. I have nothing wrong with that. I've seen some women, actors and owners, that are just phenomenal. I've seen the actresses that just creep me out more than you could possibly imagine. They're not just playing victims anymore. They are protagonists, and they do their job very well. I've seen little girls, little 6 and 7 year old girls from a haunt that I taught called Backwoods Oddities. And this little girl, Kimberly, was the creepiest character I have ever seen. So we need to shed those biases and the sexist remarks, because women are in this business to stay, and women are part of the future of this business. We can all work together. We are all equals in the haunt industry. So, if you do have gynophobia and you still are resistant to women in the business, it's time to get over it and face your fears.
Always remember one thing, haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
And the next time, it may be a woman scaring you.
All right, it's Storm again, and now I'm in Baltimore, and, you know, second leg of the trip getting to Midwest Haunters Convention, and for, like, the first time in, like, ever, the gate I arrived in was next to the gate I'm departing from, so, woohoo! No airport sprint, jumping over bags and knocking over people. All right, next stop, Ohio.
Black Cab Attack. Black Cab Attack. Lonely Horror Stories. Lonely Horror Stories. On the Big Scary on Show. The Big Scary Show.
Remember the pain, accept your fate. Tonight your soul will be mine. And I'm gonna take you live. And I'll do it in the daytime. I don't know mercy. You hurt.
Duncan with everything. Check out fearmart.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show. And if you're not, I'm going to hunt you down, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to hurt you.
Horror, mental, haunting. It's all dark and scary. At Thorn Web Designs, we know what you want, what you need, and we will give you exactly that. Since 2007, we have been providing our customers with the best logos, web designs, and more. We can offer to keep their image dark, scary, and memorable, not to mention fantastic prices. With clients from Nightmare Zone Haunted House and Wells Township Haunted House, we are ready to give you the spoke you need for web presence. To get your quote and to browse our portfolio, visit thornwebdesigns.com.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. The Big Scary Show has to start off with some very distressing news this week. We just found out earlier this week that Brian Wolfe of the Wolfe Brothers, makeup artist extraordinaire, and of Evil Twin FX, has been diagnosed with cancer. And obviously this is very devastating to his wife and daughter and his brother Nick. And the Big Scary Show wishes them all the love and support that we can. And anything we can do for you, we will. The family of Brian Wolfe has set up a fundraising page off of GoFundMe.com. And the Big Scary Show has a link on our Facebook page to that site. If you would like to help contribute towards their very expensive upcoming medical bills, go to facebook.com/bigscaryshow and click on the GoFundMe.com link set up for Brian Wolfe. On behalf of the show, Brian, we are pulling for you. Best wishes for a speedy recovery. Your wife, your daughter, your brother Nick. Get well soon, buddy. You're a good friend of the show, and you're a good personal friend. Take care, and please keep us updated. We start off Deadline News with news on Flashback Weekend's 10th anniversary. Celebrating its 10th anniversary, Flashback Weekend is Chicago's largest and longest-running horror convention. Flashback Weekend is dedicated to the preservation of the big-screen horror film experience. Convention activities will be held August 10th through the 12th at the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare in Rosemont, Illinois. Flashback Weekend presents major celebrity guests, live horror theater by the New Millennium Theater Company, film premieres and screenings, the Flashback Weekend Costume Contest, hosted by the one and only Sven Gulli, and the Zombie Pinups Beauty Pageant, presented by Sinister Visions. Celebrity guests scheduled to appear include director John Carpenter, Linda Blair, Tony Todd, Kane Hodder, Danielle Harris, Tim Sullivan, and many more. For information and tickets, visit flashbackweekend.com or call 847-647-3124. Hope to see everybody at Flashback Weekend. We have news on Eli Roth's Goratorium. Eli Roth's Goratorium, a new original haunt attraction opening in September 2012 in Las Vegas, is now accepting online applications to join their cast, if you have the guts. No position details listed yet, but applicants will be notified when details become available. To apply online, visit their website and upload your resume at www.goratorium.com. We have news on Creepfest. Elizabeth sent this in via news@bigscaryshow.com, so keep sending in those news articles. Creepfest, a cost-free gathering, will be held August 10th through the 12th at the VFW Hall, 1804 North Commercial Street in Harrisonville, Missouri, just south of Kansas City. The weekend will include prop-making demonstrations, roundtable discussions on a variety of haunt topics, the Zombie Prom, a make-and-take of various haunt goodies, games, prizes, food, and fun for the whole family. Friday night, a meet-and-greet will be held, along with a special screening of two episodes from Kansas City's own Incognito Cinema Warriors, a show mixing the zombie apocalypse with robots, riffing, and bad, bad movies. Saturday will hold the bulk of the weekend's activities. There will be a macabre motor show, where decorated vehicles make a bid to win the creepiest ride, Pagan Idol, a karaoke contest with a spooky twist, the Graveyard Sale. Think of it as a garage sale at the Munster's house. There will be a demonstration of making plain items look properly haunt-worthy by Tara of Tara's Lair. Roger Alexander will be showing us how to get things moving with linear accelerators. Mike Strain will be sharing all the knowledge that his years in the film industry have taught him about makeup and special effects, and Becky Gooch of Dream Spiral Productions, LLC in Joplin, is all set to expound on the art of hiring, training, and getting the best out of your haunt actors. Saturday night, the Zombie Prom encourages conventioneers to shake off the cemetery dusk and boogie down until Sunday morning drives everyone back to their resting places. Sunday morning, a catered breakfast opens the final day of festivities. The star of the day is the Make and Take a Palooza, where you can make six different props to enhance your own haunted abode, from ghostly chairs to meaty butcher shop props, carnivorous plants, to the most effective, inexpensive scare tool in a haunted house's toolbox, there's something for everyone. Before you overload yourself with fun and creativity, we head to lunch and bid one another adieu until 2013. For more information on Creepfest, please visit the website at www.creepfest.org. That's Creepfest with a K. We have some news from Field of Screams in Maryland. From a note posted on Facebook, calling all interested actors, we are working hard on all the new stuff, and this year will totally blow you away. Want to be a part of all the action at the absolute best haunt in Maryland? Send us an email to fieldofscreamstalent@gmail.com. Only apply if you love to scare people, and you must be at least 16 years old to apply. Field of Screams is located at 4501 Olney Laytonsville Road in Olney, Maryland, only 25 minutes from Baltimore or Northern Virginia. We have some news from MrSkeleton.com. Soon to launch, and for a limited window of opportunity, Mr. Skeleton will be taking pre-manufacture orders for certain items on their product line, which includes the full Bucky Skeleton. For details, or to sign up for group buy notifications, email jeff@mrskeleton.com. We have news on the Crypticon Blood Run sent to us from Adam via news@bigscaryshow.com. Thank you, Adam. The owners and creative directors at the Haunting Experience on Highway 61 are teaming up with the Crypticon Horror Convention to bring to the masses the inaugural Crypticon Blood Run. This event will be held on September 28th at the Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington, Minnesota. For those interested in the Blood Run, We will be departing from the hotel at 8 p.m. Central Time and busing guests to our haunt in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, about 20 minutes away. Ticket price includes a bus ride to and from the haunt, complete with entertainment, VIP badge and lanyard for express entrance to the attraction, a food voucher for use at our concessions, 3 haunted houses, a mile-and-a-half long haunted hayride through the ancient cursed forests of Cruz Morte, fun, frights, and games in the new Midway Macabre, and an after-party with live music and a bus ride back to the Doubletree at 11:30 p.m. For more information, people can follow them on Twitter at HauntingOn61 or check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/HauntingExperienceOnHighway61. Updates will be posted as they happen. In addition, people can get information and purchase tickets for both the Blood Run and the convention via Crypticon's website, www.CrypticonMinneapolis.com. Crypticon features costume contests, vendors, a zombie ball, live music, and a ton of celebrity guests including Sig Haig, Richard Kiel, and Tom Savini. We have some news on Haunters Camping Palooza 2012. Oblivion Haunted House and Terror on the Fox are proud to bring you the Haunters Camping Palooza 2012, an annual family-friendly camping weekend adventure and networking event for haunters, home haunters, Halloween enthusiasts, makeup artists, and more. This year's event will be held August 3rd through the 5th at Wisconsin's acclaimed and award-winning Terror on the Fox haunted attraction, located at 2285 South Broadway in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Some of the events include Lights On Haunt Tours of Terror on the Fox and Oblivion Haunted Attractions, a Lights Off Tour of Terror on the Fox, outdoor movies including Evil Dead and The Mole Man of Belmont Avenue, which is sponsored by Zombie Army Productions, Green Bay Fears Zombie Olympics, a potluck Beast Feast, door prizes, vendor swag bags, a free scenic design seminar, and much, much more. For more information on Haunters Camping Palooza, visit www.hauntercampingpalooza.com. Registration is limited, so don't miss out. We have news on Aatrox Factory and Bloody Mary, Bobby Wiener. Do you want to learn how to create a monster? Aatrox Factory is announcing an all-day, hands-on, Bloody Mary Makeup to Die For workshop with none other than the legendary makeup artist herself, Bobby Wiener. The workshop is being held Saturday, July 21st, and will be located at Aatrox Factory's haunted attraction located at 8404 Parkway Drive in Leeds, Alabama. Tickets are on sale now, and you will receive your very own Bloody Mary makeup kit. For details and tickets, visit www.aatroxfactory.com. And some news on the Fear's Gate haunted attraction. Fear's Gate haunted attraction has been scaring the yell out of victims from the San Fernando Valley to Santa Barbara, California since 2009. Now they're looking for new talent for the 2012 season. They're announcing that they need volunteers. As they post on Facebook, "We are looking to expand our numbers this year. Our theme for this year's haunt is Zombie 2012 Apocalypse. Do you know anyone that enjoys dressing up and scaring the yell out of unsuspecting guests? What about someone that is skillful or wishes to expand their knowledge of special effect makeup? Anyone interested in stage or set design for a local haunted house? If you know of someone or have a personal interest, please email jennifer@fearsgate.com. The website is currently undergoing maintenance but should be up by mid-July. That website is fearsgate.com for information as it becomes available. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger once again in Pontiac, Michigan. Oh, my God, what a town and what a time we have had. and we are at the Feather of the Haunt Tours Cap, Erebus Haunted House. Used to be the world's largest, still up there, one of the best haunts in the country. We're speaking to Ed Terribus, who just happens to be one of the owners. Ed, how you doing?
Doing very good, very good.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit how Erebus got started and how it has evolved into basically one of the largest haunts ever and one of the absolute coolest.
Actually, my brother started doing the haunted houses in 1981 when I was graduating high school. I joined in. We went from a 2,800 square foot trailer unit to a 3,400 square foot trailer unit to a 9,800 square foot trailer unit. Ran that for 20 years. And after the end of 20 years, we decided all that intermittent costs, we could buy a building. So we ended up buying Erebus in 1998, opened it in 2000. It was actually a vacant building for 40 years. And
I bet you had lots of junk in here.
Oh, man, we had tons of junk. I mean, I took 110,000 pounds of stuff just off the roof.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I have no response to that. And it just kind of expanded from there.
And we just kind of keep growing. You know, now we're up to, I got 7 full-time employees throughout the whole year, and then we got 250 people. They work here, you know, a pool of them, not all at one time,
sure.
But, you know, for the season.
And are you still kind of competing with the others? You know, I know that you took the title from a haunt in Japan, and now there's a haunt in Ohio that claims they're the largest, and there's that haunt in Dallas and another haunt
Dallas
in Japan.
Dallas now owns the, has the record.
Okay, are you looking to top them at some point, or can you expand anymore? Even?
We could expand, but, I mean, that'd be like building a whole other haunted house, you know. I don't know how much more can I charge, because right now it's a... This is just over a half-mile walk-through when you're inside
wow.
here.
So how long for an average... I mean, we're a bunch of jaded haunters, you know. We'll just walk through and look at everything and not be forced back in conga line forms and things like that.
Well,
how long would it,
yourself.
Well, yeah, Mr. Rocker here. But how long would it take an average person to walk through an Erebus?
Average guy is going to be about 45 minutes.
Wow. Very much. So that's absolutely worth the price, which we won't talk prices here. We never talk prices, but still, you know, absolutely.
Yeah,
just
things grabbing you, biting you, landing on top of you. Yeah, 45
minutes. Would you classify that as an extreme haunt then?
I'm trying to be. I mean, trying to be different. You know, we're a little more interactive. I push the envelope a little bit. Like I said, literally, I got things that will grab you, bite you, land on top of you, put you in a room, slam the door, dump 10,000 things on your head, and fill the room up 6 feet 6, and let you out.
Any lawsuits come from that, from somebody not expecting to get hit in the face with 10,000 things falling on their heads?
Nah, you know what? I did have a guy, late 50s, fall to his hands and knees, screaming, crying. I mean, you thought he was going to die. His four buddies just laughed at him, picked him up. But I guess he had a bad war story, and that kind of brought back memories. But
well,
no, if you're claustrophobic, you won't even see it coming, and you're in trouble.
You guys have mentioned before that you've had the possibility of heart attacks in here, too.
A possibility of heart attacks?
Or actual.
Or how many?
No. I never had a heart attack. I did have somebody go in shock. But the hospital is 2 blocks down the street, so, I mean, it works out really good. Heart attack, I mean, I thought it was happening, but it actually didn't. I mean, you had somebody pass out, and they're unconscious, and it scares the hell out of you. You know, it sounds good, but when it really happens, it's no fun.
Without trying to sound difficult or anything, but is there a drop of quality going through a haunt in June, like on a Midwest Midwest haunt
100%.
Tour? 100% drop in quality.
100% drop in quality. You got us in the middle of construction. I mean,
right.
We got new things coming up. I mean, every year we rip out 30%, and we got to get in fresh show. It's almost like a Broadway show. I mean, I got to rip it apart, make it new, so you guys come on back and see it again, and see the new
Sweet.
Stuff, see the old stuff. Yeah.
And how have the reactions of the earlier buses been for the people coming through?
You know what? The second bus, your first bus was just coming out, so response has been great.
Excellent.
But again, I hate to give you guys a show that's only, you know, 60, 75%.
But what can you do in the middle of June? You know, all your actors are off doing other things, and you've got reconstructions and new constructions and deconstructions going on, so...
We still got 75 actors in there. You know, we got... But and again, there's a big chunk of show that's shut down. You'll see it's all black. You know, the lobbies, I'm looking to reconstruct those this year. Those are just kind of, you know. But again, it's June.
Yeah, what can you do? For people out there like myself who live thousands of miles away and don't get to see things like this except once in a very rare moon, how can somebody get, like, pictures or schedules or anything if they're traveling up to the Michigan area in the fall?
Well, in fall time, we actually, in this area, we do a paper called the Fear Finder.
Okay.
The Fear Finder features 60 different haunted attractions. Southeast Michigan's the haunted house capital of the world. We have more haunted houses here in a 50-mile radius than any place else.
Mm.
The Fear Finder is available at 4,000 locations throughout this area.
Right.
Kmart, Kroger, Myers, CVS, drugstores.
One of them free papers in the big newspaper racks.
Free paper. Actually, we do that, too. We've been doing that since 1993. We print 550,000 copies of it. It's a 40-page paper.
Nice. What about websites for people like in Japan or the Carolinas or California like myself?
You know what? You can go to fearfinder.com and download the paper.
Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah.
So if anyone traveling up here wants to come up and check out, are there like coupons for these?
Coupons in the paper,
ooh,
maps
nice,
in the
nice,
paper.
Nice.
They had QR codes. You can just kind of hit it and get you a map and take you right to the place.
Sweet. Well, Ed Terribus, I should say, of Erebus, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and the Haunt Rocker at the Big Scary Show down here in beautiful Pontiac, Michigan. First time up here. Looking forward to going through in a few minutes, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Hope you enjoy the show.
I hope to, too. Jerry, any last words here?
I'm looking forward to
I know you've put on your hat of protection before going in there now.
I came out all the way from Vegas, so I'm looking forward to this. Seen it on TV for the last few years, so
this one's been on my bucket list for a long, long time, and I'm glad they finally announced they were coming out here. But once again, the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, Drew Badger with the Big Scary Show here in Pontiac, Michigan at Erebus. And we are out.
All right, we've made it into Columbus and wandered down the street from the Hyatt and the Convention Center and stopped at the Happy Greek. And you know what? It is the Happy Greek. Man, the food, everything was fresh. I had falafel and spicy
falafel.
At least it's not radio.
It's still better.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Yep, you too. Thank you. Definitely. Thank you. No, come back and see this. This is great. Drinks were good. And what did I get? The Loch Ness? No, the Lake Erie Elliott Ness. Good stuff. All right. I'm going back to my beer and wandering around Columbus.
Yeah, just what we need, a storm wandering around Columbus.
I've done that before and survived.
You need to try something. Does this sound a little too... Oh, crap. Stormy blew it.
I'm glad I recorded that one.
Come on in.
I missed the first part, too.
Yep. A Haunt Rocker flubbed his line live.
But he was good.
The Unknown Scare Actor here live at Midwest Haunters Convention, and I'm standing here with Nez Wilburn from Dark Spectre
Custom Couture.
Custom Couture. See, I didn't even know the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Nez, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about how you got into the business and why you do what you do?
Okay, I got into the business a few years ago, mainly because my friends the online community were seeing what I was building costume-wise for myself and wanted me to start making stuff for them, too. And it just kind of took off from there. Completely internet-based business, but all custom work and all very fine-tuned to what the customer needs.
Well, I know I've seen quite a bit of your work, and for those of you that don't know yet, she made my new costume. You'll see it tonight at the costume ball. And by the time you hear it, it'll already be on the internet. It's because I'm trying to think.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm sitting here going, probably a shot of bourbon would have helped with this whole conversation because we would have just been chatting it up.
It probably would have been. Why don't you tell the listeners what services you offer and what you do.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, I mean, obviously I do a lot of dark design as far as like really gothic costuming and mostly for haunted attraction use. I do a lot of big gowns with a lot of heavy distressing. I'm more than happy to bloody up a gown for you, too, if you want. I also do custom corsetry, and it's all made for waist training if you want to. Everything's got steel boning. It's made very authentic and very, very historically made, so it's really strong and able to withstand tons of use. I do tailoring if necessary. I do alterations. My customer service is wonderful because if there is a problem with anything that I make for you, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. And at my own cost if necessary. So we pretty much guarantee our work. And then at the happy little sideline that I do, which the girls here are happily prancing around in, is the retro and rockabilly 1950s vintage pinup dresses.
Yes.
There's a lot of females running around here right now in those gowns, and they're getting a lot of good press and a lot of good feedback. I also do custom men's bowling shirts.
Well, there you go, custom bowling shirts. What do you think about an Unknown Scare Actor custom bowling shirt?
I think we need to do that. Actually, I think I need to get the fabric printed up, and we need to do that because I think it would be awesome.
Sounds good. I won't argue with that. Walking around here, I've seen, I always see Deanna Roberts in something that you've made.
There she is right there.
And there's Deanna right there. Come on and join the party, Deanna. This is Deanna Roberts, makeup vamp, and we're talking to Nez and Deanna now about Dark Specter and makeup vamp since she's here. And Deanna's like, oh.
Team Dark, all the way.
And Deanna's like, oh, gosh, okay, what am I going to say?
Well, actually, it's all because of Nez, a lot of it. She was the one who turned me on to Laura Dark's work in the first place. And, of course, Nez has been making my costumes exclusively, probably about the last 10 years or
so. At least,
And, you know, my pinup dresses, my costumes that I've worn at all the conventions, most famously my Lily Munster dress that's been shown on numerous publications, posters, and tons of models. But Nez had purchased one of Laura Dark's photography books, and then I'm like, oh, I need to get this. And I became a fan. And then when Laura put out that she was looking for a makeup artist, I
jumped on board with both feet.
I'm like, please, I'm a big fan.
Talk about diving in head first. I mean, we all pretty much did. We all jumped on the bandwagon, and it's been awesome. It's been a wonderful ride.
Yep. And once I started bringing around Nez's work to Laura Dark's studio, and everyone gets all giddy and excited to see her stuff, he goes, who's this Nez? And I said, oh, you need to know Nez. And it's been fantastic ever since. It's been a hell of a collaboration.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, and we're turning out some killer stuff lately, and more to come.
Yes.
I can't argue at all. I've watched on Facebook. I see the work, and I've become a fan of Nez's work. I really have. In spite of my costume, I was enjoying it before that, watching everything she's made for you, Deanna. So this is the point where I'm going to ask you both. This is the part of the interview where you do your plugs, do all your promos, your website. So let's have it.
After you, honey.
Well, you can find me at makeupvamp.com or even on Facebook. I have a makeup vamp page. I do all sorts of makeup work. I do fashion. I do the alternative, gothic, theatrical. I'm gender friendly. So I do all sorts of work, and I'm always for hire as a makeup artist, also during haunt season.
Woo-hoo. All right, and you can find Dark Specter online at www.darkspecter.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Dark Specter Couture, or just look up Nez Wilburn and send me a friend request, because I'm going to accept it, and then you can get a heavy dose of my wit and sarcasm along with my costuming. And purely 100% custom work. So if you want something, communicate with me and we'll work out the details, and I got you hooked up. As Deanna Roberts is very fond of saying, I'm very good at pulling fabulous out of my ass.
All right. Nez, Deanna, thank you. It's been a pleasure. This is the Unknown Scarecrow for the Big Scary Show, and I am out.
Yeah. Hi, this is Charles from Spooky Ranch.
Hey, this is Derek from Hauntville and Spooky Ranch at the Midwest Haunters Convention. We're here with Badger with the Big Scary Show. Can't wait.
Woohoo!
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger live, the Big Scary Show. It is early Sunday morning. And, of course, as with all Midwest Haunters conventions, the Saturday night parties were epic. And because of that, we're a little bit short-staffed this week. We have Jerry Vane.
Hey, how you doing?
Who's not really talking. Unknown Scare Actor and Storm are still probably passed out either in the gutter or on the side of the road or in the middle of a field somewhere. I don't know. No one's seen them.
The bodies are piling up.
The bodies are piling up. But that is not going to stop us from holding this very interesting roundtable of terror, abbreviated, with a couple of people at least that I've been wanting to speak to for a long time on this very subject. As we all know, Halloween is a very politically incorrect holiday and very male-dominated holiday. We always have the victims are usually women in the haunts, and they're all usually wearing skimpy somethings and fishnets and corsets and all that good stuff.
Being tortured.
And being tortured by usually very large guys with axes or chainsaws. But we wanted to get a little bit of a feminine perspective, so to speak, have us get in touch with our feminine sides. You know, it is the new century and all. And want to talk to a couple of women who are owners and who run haunts, and see what it's like for them to run this kind of a haunt in this kind of an industry. I have Michelle Arroyo from Ghoul's Gulch out in Colorado.
Good morning.
Good morning indeed.
Good morning.
And Rebecca Rose from Eagle Hollow out in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Good morning.
Who also runs the Lincoln Zombie Walk. And that's interesting because I run the Charlotte Zombie Walk. Good morning to you ladies.
Morning.
You just said that.
Yes, you did. As again, it's early. We're just... I'm tired.
The coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
Coffee hasn't worn in. So I guess let's go ahead and start the basic question. Do you find that it's different owning a haunt as a woman or running a haunt as a woman as opposed to the guys that you associate with at haunts and places like this?
I actually have never noticed a difference. I have a male co-partner with it, and until you asked me the question about being a woman in it, I probably would have answered no, that I get just as much respect. It might actually work towards my advantage with a few of the vendors, but dealing with my city and with the people here, I've always been given equal respect.
Well, that wraps up. No, just kidding.
Michelle has a different role within the industry and a little bit of a different experience.
Okay.
Because I come into the industry with my own haunt that I run in my city, and I'm here to network and to buy things and talk to people. And so on that area or plateau, I'm a complete equal.
Now, when you say you use it slightly to your advantage, can you elaborate a bit on that?
No.
Sometimes it works to your advantage.
That is a male reworking a female's wording.
Well, of course it
with
is.
With a certain...
It's who I am. What can I say?
You know, when Michelle and I were talking last night, I do have, out of my business partner and I work with the vendors a little bit more than he does. And I have great relationships with all of them. Now, all of them do tend to be males. And we work really well together. So if that's because I'm the female interacting with a male, I can't quantify and say for sure. But I can say that, you know, it definitely has never hurt me. I get along really well with the vendors and we have a really good rapport. And so whether that's female or just a very outgoing, talkative personality.
Well, you're extremely friendly. You're extremely outgoing. You know, I've known you for a few years now, and you've never been anything but extremely nice to pretty much everybody I've ever seen you interact with. Never heard any backstabbing or talking bad about, unlike lots of people in the industry kind of play the little political games and talk behind the scenes and stuff. But you're one of those people I've never seen do that. So
no,
I think
I
that might just be more your personality.
In the industry.
And we are being joined by very slow Storm.
This is a very slow-moving
storm.
Exactly 29 minutes from when I texted you.
Well, okay. Well, 29 in this industry can mean some of things other together. How are you doing this morning?
If you've ever listened to Haunt Minute, you know that it usually doesn't exist.
It
but in the real world, I am punctual.
Or the roundtable lasting 30 minutes. Never happens.
I tell you guys one time.
So anyway, Michelle, how about yourself? Have you found any interesting or discrepancies or anything as being a haunt owner in this business?
You know, when it came to running the haunt and doing my shopping and coming to the conventions from that side, I have not run into it. When I opened my own business in the industry, that's when I started running into it. So I talked to a couple of people when I was talking about future jobs and clients that I was getting, and I've had comments saying that I got the clients based on my clothing or the fact that they thought I was cute or something along those lines. You know, I run into a lot more of that sort of comments and negativity than I really find any of the haunt owners do. Because at my haunt, you walk in and you know I'm in charge, and that's it. There isn't really that option of let me treat her differently because I'm in charge. I'm hiring, firing, doing all the other stuff. So the authority's built in. But as the newbie in the industry and coming out trying to make a name for you, and, you know, I have an advantage. I don't drink. I can party with everybody else. But when I'm out there, I'm fully aware of what I'm doing and I pay attention to what I'm doing. But I find that it's unfair that we have to. I listen to the comments, what everybody else is saying about, oh, this one's wearing that, oh, this one's wearing this, they must be this way, oh, did you see them party? But you know what? The guy next to them was partying harder and had their clothes mostly off and was doing all this other stuff, but she wore a low-cut shirt, so, you know, she must be the slut.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
by
because
the way,
I'm sober, I remember a lot more.
Last night as well, so.
Well, thank you. But because of that, I remember a lot more of how I'm interacting with people, and I pay attention to all of that. And I'm very careful when I'm doing the stuff for my business because most of the owners I am working with are males. You know, you recommended a client to me and or vice versa recommended me to a client. And the client said, it'll be really interesting to see a female's perspective. We've never had a female's perspective at our haunt. I went, yeah, it's usually pretty normal. You know, I come in and they're just like, oh, wait, females are in this industry? You do what? But my actors, I have more females than males. And not because that's how I hire, but because that's who's interested. In my town, most of my crew, it's hard to get males. I am searching to get males into my haunt where females are my positions of power and the torturers and all the other stuff. Because that's who I have.
So you're actually kind of playing the role reversal, more out of a necessity.
It's out of necessity. I have a probably 5-to-1 ratio of females to males in my haunt. You know.
So if you're looking to go, if you're in the Denver, Colorado Springs, kind of somewhere Colorado area, and you're looking at maybe working at a haunt this year, Ghoul's Gulch,
yes,
might be the place.
Yes, we're hiring.
We have listeners who are just considering to move there.
Well, exactly. Hey, I'm like, hey, Colorado's beautiful. Love to ski and all that stuff.
Haunting D&D.
And, you know, coming in from a minority perspective as a guy. Interesting. I wouldn't want to necessarily see a guy in fishnets lying strapped to a table, splayed open with... That may be the Bay Area. So, Rebecca, you also put together the Lincoln Zombie Walk, and you know I put together the Charlotte one. So we have to deal with city codes and things like that. Do you find any problems with having to deal with people, or let me put it a different way? When you hold the zombie walks, excuse me, still losing my voice a bit. When you hold the zombie walks, do you ever have issues running in with the permitting process? Like, oh, don't worry here, little Missy. We'll just take care of this for you. That kind of thing when it comes to, like, getting, you know.
No, but I think part of that is I don't go in with the attitude that I'm a woman. How can I get this done?
Right.
I walk in saying, I run the Lincoln Zombie Fest. We've been around for 5 years. We have huge numbers, and we've known from the beginning how to deal with the city. So I walk in with the full authority and backing of my event. The event center in my city is my partner for the event. They take, you know, they listen to me. We work on equal footing. We walk in with already respect. It's no different than any business in that aspect. You know, on my
You've
day
never
job,
tried to do one
I
in the
command.
Deep South.
That could be.
Unfortunately.
But in my city, I command just as much respect in the haunt industry and in my haunt business as I do in my day job. And I'm a supervisor there, and they answer to me the same way. And, you know, it's the same thing. We're, you know, it's 2012, you know.
Exactly.
There isn't that discrimination.
You're not walking around twirling your hair going, oh, I need a big, strong man.
Exactly, and
okay,
I think that's the difference
is
our attitude.
There are still females that act that way. I just recently had a roommate, and she's a personal trainer, and she would go, oh, I can't move this, there's no male around. You know, and it's the ones that keep doing that that build up that for everybody else, and they assume that because Rebecca likes to wear a skirt or she wears boots or something along those lines that she's a helpless female.
Prima Donna thing.
Day job, I'm in IT. I am in a company that is 98% male. My clients are always males. You know, I had a client in the day job, which I've not experienced here, thank goodness, where I would say something and they'd turn and look at the male that I was working with and ask him the question that I just answered. And he'd go, Michelle just said that. Oh, somebody said something? You know, you don't get that here. It's a lot better here. You know, in the haunt industry, I always say to everyone that it's wonderful because this is where all of the freaks unite and none of us are freaks anymore. And that's the same thing. You're not looking around going, oh, she's a female. Oh, she's, you know, she's this or whatever. She's one of us. You know, if you're showing up here, the first time I went to a haunt convention way back when, there weren't that many females. And it wasn't, wow, there's a female here, kick her out. It was, oh my God, there's a female here. You know, like, guys were excited that we were interested in the same stuff.
I guess it comes from that fact where, you know, the kids, when you're 13, 14, 15, and you're the kid that sits in the basement watching horror movies all day, you know, and let's face it, it's rated R because of two things, gore and gratuitous nudity. And it's like, oh my God, I'm seeing boobies for the very first time, become a man watching Friday the 13th or something. And I guess maybe that kind of translates a little bit up as you get into older. You kind of associate the helpless female victim in the horror movies. You know, they're usually the first ones getting killed, and they're usually all blonde and have just come out of the lake after swimming nude with the boyfriend, and all of a sudden takes the axe to the head.
Yeah, but it's always the women that survive.
It is seeming, at least in the last decade or so.
No, even in the Friday the 13th, the Halloweens, it's always a female that's left alive.
The guys are all drunk.
The guys are
dying. Well, so look at the first Friday the 13th movie, Jason wasn't the killer, it was his mother. I mean,
and it was a female that killed her and lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, it was a female that lived. And it's always normally a female that slept alive.
Which is kind of a weird, weird turnaround, kind of full circle kind of thing.
Now, have you guys felt that the haunt industry itself, has it gotten a little bit away from the boys' club? Is it something you guys see in the industry as a trend? And if you do, do you feel it's because you've earned respect in it, or because of the economy and the changing of the industry, people who are narrow-minded, still have the sexism to do business, aren't going to be doing business for very long?
I think it's probably somewhat that they're used to it now.
Okay.
You know,
in general, or just you working in it for the time that you have, that people are more used to it. And if a new woman comes in with a business or something, are they good? Do you think they're going to face the exact same challenges you did when you first came in haunt attraction industry?
No, not at all. I think that it has grown a lot. I think if you look at the statistics of who's showing up at the shows and who's purchasing and all of that, it's shifted. It's no longer 99% male on the trade show floors. You know, the vendors are mixed. You've got female owners that are not just doing costuming, you know. There's a whole variety of people that are doing all different talents. But the thing is, there are still the same veterans that have that mentality. We're not changing their mentality necessarily, but the group is changing. You know, the older generations are retiring and choosing not to do this anymore, you know, and the fresh blood that's coming in is mixed.
I noticed.
And they're used to women working. I mean, it's the new time.
Just changing
they're
the industry.
They're so used to it. Even in people's day jobs, you're used to working side by side with females. We've had some really great, strong females in the haunt industry that have paved the way. And at this point in time, I don't think it's a big deal. You're always going to find some niches where there is kind of the old school, you know, the boys' club, as you referenced. But I think overall, as a haunt owner, there's no difference. It might be different if you're trying to do consulting for people in the industry where they might kind of run into the problem. I think that's where Michelle ran into the most. But for the most part, I think we've earned our place. We've shown that we know just as much, if not a little bit more, in some areas. So I really don't think the attitude's there.
I noticed being a vendor, my third year of vending, I would take every couple hours, take a break and wander around just to stretch my legs. And 3 years ago, I noticed most of the people buying were guys. And I noticed this year especially, as I'm going around looking at the booth, and mostly over at the effects and prop sharing, it's the women got the money out and they're buying the stuff up. And I'm like, you see it, that shift was gradual, but it's definitely a lot more prevalent this year than I've seen in the last few.
Yeah. When I opened my company, I was told that there were no women of power in the haunt industry. And I was told it by a veteran. And they said, you know, good luck. You know, you have a chance, but there are no women of power in the haunt industry. They don't last.
I know that's especially the mindset in some different regions of the states, especially more than in others.
Yeah, but I haven't found that.
I run into it to a degree in the South when I run a Southern haunt. Usually the woman is either a silent partner, she's the one running the ticket counter, she's the one doing makeup. She's not the one with the managerial walking the haunt, making the hiring and firing decisions. In a lot of cases, that's not always the case. But
you bring up a good point, though. A lot of times there are very powerful women working these haunts, but the face of the haunt is a male.
Exactly.
And the ones that people recognize are males, you know. It's very rare that you have a case like Rebecca with her partner where she's the well-known one and most people in the industry don't know her partner.
I don't know your partner, so.
You know, but it's usually the flip. The public face, the social face is the male, and the one really putting in a lot of the effort, you know, is the female in the background. And I was talking with Marsha Edmonds at West Coast about the same thing. And she's an amazing, powerful woman. For those of you who don't know, she works at Distortions. Her and her husband run Distortions, and boy, does she run Distortions. You know, I mean, they both do a lot of work, but without Marsha and Ed both doing work, Distortions wouldn't exist. You know, and when you think about Distortions, usually you think about the artist and not necessarily the person running it, you know? And she's an incredible woman. Her and I were talking because I told her that I was going to be doing this out here, and she said it was an amazing concept to be having this conversation and that I was actually right. It is that a lot of times the faces of the company are male, and she's run into that a lot of times in this industry, you know? So it's perception, but it's perception that everyone's willing to take, you know? It's not that we're necessarily saying we don't want to be noticed, but when you're busy running around, you're like, oh, you want to go talk to people? Go talk to people. I got to take care of these 100 million things on my task list.
Sure.
You know, so it ends up being that everyone thinks the company is run by the guy that's talking.
You know, for those people that have watched Making Monsters.
By the way, the unknown scare actor has just crawled in from out of whatever crypt looking quite disheveled. Good morning.
Good morning. Fashionably late. But getting back to Distortions, if you watched the shows, Ed always goes to Marsha for the money.
Yeah.
You know, she's holding those purse strings. She's running that business very well.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, it's a team. Without one or the other, it fails.
Right.
You know? Ed is very talented, and he does a lot of work, and he's always busy, but so does Marsha. But he's the one that people recognize most of the time.
And I would say that maybe, I don't know about the majority of the, shall we say, large, great professional haunts out there, you know, the nationally known ones that we can all name in our heads. But I would guess that a lot of the haunted trails, the mom and pops, the charity haunts that we see pop up for 3 or 4 weeks a year and then disappear are probably all partnered husband, wife, or family-oriented. So you get the moms, the daughters, the boys, the girls, all the uncles and aunts together to run that thing. But of course, being in the South where I am, as you said, it's usually the face is the guy, maybe the two of them standing together, or she's usually the one kind of dressed a little victimish, and he's got the big axe in his hand and the mask on his face, and he's the big threatening one. So it is that perception, as you said.
Yeah. I mean, do you find the same when you're talking to people, that the ones that really know the ins and outs are not really speaking up to be the public face?
It's a lot of it. It depends on time. A lot of times, if the female's doing a lot of the back behind the scene things, we're not as upfront. We're mine's the opposite because I'm the face of the haunt. Jared does a lot more of the building and the technical side of things, and I do the PR work, the acting, and all of that, and we've meshed together perfectly, but we're the opposite. I'm probably more of the face, although touching on something Michelle said earlier, I think the one stereotype that's still there that we really have to watch ourselves on is what we wear. And that, you know, over the years from when I first started coming to convention 7 years ago to now, I really watch that when I'm on the trade floor representing the haunt, I'm in my haunt shirts, I don't wear anything cleavage bearing. I really watch it, and even with my costuming. I kind of watch it because the perception, especially before I had built, you know, what little reputation I have here already as an owner, if you were in something that, even if it was decent, if you were too sexy, that's where they wouldn't take you more seriously.
And everything you've built up kind of out the window.
It does, and that's the one thing. You can be at the top of your game, be successfully running it, but if you're coming across as too sexy and you cross that line into slutty, they're not going to take you seriously. Where a guy, as you said, can drink and do anything the night before, but if a female does it, that's where, you know, the gossip does run. And normally we stay away from that. And I don't think there's a ton in the industry. I love how inner supportive our industry is, but that's the one place that a female can slip up. You can have a guy and a girl drink the same amount, do the same exact thing, but a woman's going to be looked down on it.
The moment just the slightest bit of skin shows out, oh, she's a babe.
Yep. Or if she is doing anything with a male counterpart where the guy is just, hey, look what he was able to do. Ah, look at her. Yeah, so that's probably the one place the double standard does exist.
The respect level drops significantly then.
It does. And I've heard people talk about it. So, and I learned that my very first year in the industry that, you know, we really have to watch our step more with that. As Michelle said, I drink a little bit, but I never get drunk when I'm at an event because everything I've worked for would be lost.
I can say last year on the bus tour, you were like one of maybe three women on the bus that were sober, dead straight sober. I think I saw you took a drink twice.
Yeah, it's not.
I think it was probably water.
Do you think that, though, that entire perception is almost expected by the general public? When they go out and buy a ticket to your haunt, they expect to see the scantily clad, sexy nurse acting slutty towards you to either as a distraction or anything? Or
not at my haunt.
Not at your haunt.
Maybe
other haunts that you visited. Because, I mean, we did the bus tour, and I don't think either of you were on the bus tour, were you? But,
see, the thing is, it's not an expectation.
Okay.
For the industry, it's not an expectation that we put that in there. When we do our exit surveys, I get, how come you guys don't have chainsaws? I don't get, how come you don't have slutty little girls in there? You know, I mean, maybe because nobody wants to say that, but it's not something that we're looked down on for not having.
Right.
It doesn't affect my attendance.
Not necessarily looked down on, but like you were just saying, you know, where are the chainsaws? Everyone goes into a haunt and expects the big chainsaw at the end, whether you love it, whether you hate it. People who buy the tickets kind of expect that. So do they kind of expect to see the naughty nurse or the victim lying on the table with the evil doctor, you know, menacing her in a dirty kind of way or anything like that?
Yeah, but even if we have a victim, it doesn't matter if it's a male or not.
Right.
And really, if they want to have something to look at, you got the clients in line. Queue line keeps them entertained, whether it's us or not, you know?
Yeah, I think today's haunts are at a new level, and that's not really expected anymore. They expect so much of being entertained, and they're so used to the CGI and the movies, and the video games are just amazing at this point in time. So I think we have so much to work with just to develop that scare. And by the end of it, if they come out going, where was the girl? Then I did something wrong. And like Michelle, I have never heard. And there are nights where I'm in costume, and there are nights that I just dress out of my uniform and I just look like a patron and hang out to hear what people say. And I've never heard one person ask, where were the girl?
I've noticed some haunts in the last couple of years on the bus tours that, you know, you have some of the haunts will have the prerequisite person at the very front telling you this is what to do, this not to, kind of setting up whatever storyline they have. And I've noticed that some of the haunts have women in the roles now, and I actually get more of a creep factor from the women than the guys, because the guys, you know, they're trying to talk like this and be really scary, kind of how I sound right now. And I'm just like, okay, you sound like Wolfman Jack. But then I'll use Twisted Darkness as a reference. Last year, their main character, this gothic woman in the white robe, and I got creeped how she was talking, how she carried herself, than some dude with clicky fingers on and a robe on his head.
Yeah, I had clicky fingers at the party last night. What are
you
trying
to say? You got clicky fingers all the time.
Yeah, and you can look at Jackie is one of the actresses that moves around from haunt to haunt, has the creepiest character out there. And if you've seen Jackie at conventions,
we're talking Jackie Steiner, the model.
And Jackie oozes sexuality. But when she's in her haunt character, she is the creepiest thing out there, and she does it beautifully, and nobody's going to look at her and go, why can't I see your cleavage? She does such an amazing job that she is one of those people that is erasing that idea that to be a female in a haunt, you have to be sexy. She creeps you out so much that you have no thought left but to get away. And so I think we're changing as the industry, and and we've shown them that we can take it to that next level, and we're scaring you. It's no longer to come. If you want that, there's a strip club. When you go to the haunts, we're giving you something different, and I guarantee you that they're not asking for it at the end. Well, they're satisfied.
The thing to keep in mind, though, is that when you're dealing with emotions, if you have someone get attracted to someone else, and I'm saying attraction, I'm not saying anything along those lines, you've just heightened that emotion, and it sets it up for another scare. So if you're setting it up in that sense to use that, I'm not saying that they have to be in skimpy little outfits, but you can use sexuality and attraction as a distraction in the haunt to get a good scare, because you heighten the emotion, they're going to react even more when you scare them. So I don't think it's necessary. You can do it in many different ways, but if you use that as a tactic, there's nothing wrong with it, provided that the person that you're putting in that outfit is of age.
Well, yes. When you were speaking about how, you know, with the women dominance becoming more prevalent, I noticed yesterday, and this, and Virgil Franklin was with me, this family comes up to the table, they have a home on, the little girl, maybe 11 years old, she had a list on a clipboard, and she comes, she goes, okay, this is the rooms I have in our haunt, I need a certain music for this, and she sat there and listened to, okay, do you have a clown song? Do you have this? Okay, that's not dark enough. I need something more sinister than that. Okay, now we need this prop. And the family's following her. She's maybe 11. And I looked at the father, and he goes, no, seriously. This little girl gets every publication, and she sits down and figures out what we need. He goes, and at first of all, I thought she was just being cute. Oh, okay, she wants to figure out. And I realized that she was having serious, and he goes, I can see her running a hunt later on in life. She knew what she wanted. And she told me flat out, you're good, but you're not scary enough. I'm like, okay, well, Virgil's here. Ed's over there. Knox Arcana's over there. I'm just going to go crawl on my hole now.
That kind of brings up an interesting point, too. Do you think that the fact that women are known as the family rearers, you know, when you have kids and things, that makes them kind of drop out of the scene? You may have a mom-and-pop haunt for a couple of years, woman has a couple of kids, and then she kind of has to back off that scene. You think that might be one of those? Well, maybe not back off, but, you know, I can't help you work on the paneling today because I got to take Junior to the dentist and that kind of stuff.
You know, I find I'm laughing because before coming to this convention, I was at a Women Powering Technology convention, and we had this same discussion. And all of the CIOs and all of these incredible women said, you know, I couldn't do it if it wasn't for the fact that my husband stays home with the kids and my husband goes and takes them here and my husband goes and does this so that I have the time to do this. The kids know when I come home, I go back to work, you know. And in my industry for the day job, it's the same thing, you know. The women in the industry have kids and then they find a way to have the kids taken care of and then get accomplish what they need to do. And I think Rebecca is one of the best examples of that in this industry because she does so much with the Zombie Fest, which she brought into a two-day event. She has her haunt. She comes to the convention. She does all of this stuff and her day job. And she's got a son that is not feeling like he doesn't have a mother.
Does the son, is he involved in the zombie walk, or is he involved in the haunt in any way? I know he's young, but, you know, does he play a role? Does he go out there and try to creep people out, or what's his opinion on this whole thing?
He plays at the Zombie Fest, but I will say that he attends all of the meetings because I am a single mom, so he has to be at everything. So, you know, he's our mascot. He gets it. He wears the T-shirts. But at the haunt, I'm cognitive. He goes into the haunts at the very early stages, and then he doesn't. And there is kind of an evolution. My business partner's son is now 8. And Christian has gotten to the point now that when he's working, you know, if he comes out at night, if it's the night where Margie brings him out, he's starting to try to scare people, and it's fun to see that element in it. But it's just like Michelle said, it's any other job, you have to have that balance. And it has to, I mean, it's a personal decision between the two partners with, you know, are you going to stay home with the kid tonight? Am I? Are we going to pay for a babysitter? Are we going to bring the child with? So is it more challenging? Yes, but it's challenging anytime you have children in any industry. So I think we're finding ways to make it work.
I took my wife and kids to HauntCon for the very first time last year because, you know, they kind of wanted to see what I do when I disappear for a few days at a time. And my kids went on the trade show floor, and I have two girls and a boy, and they weren't really sure what to make of all this. But by the end of the convention, they were like, oh, I want to be in this. I want to be in this, like, right now. My wife is still kind of like, well, I don't necessarily want to. I'll just stay home and let you go do your thing. But now I've seen what you do, and it's okay. She's okay with that. So I see that a couple of people, you know, and I know people in this industry who would like to do more, but either the husband or the wife is saying, I don't necessarily want you to do more in that industry. And that does seem to hold a lot of people back. It does seem to happen more on the females than it does on the men.
Yeah, I think, you know, like we said, it's an industry, it's a balance thing, but I do think it's a great place for children. I mean, we're all kids at heart. When people ask me why the Zombie Fest is so popular or haunts, it's because we don't have to grow up. You know, we get to create a world of imagination. And not only are, you know, on Halloween you get to dress up and people play along, but at the Zombie Fest or at the haunted house, everybody's buying into it. Everybody around you is still a part of that. And I love watching my son play because he's immersed in imagination. And when he's sitting and watching a television show, he'll sit for about 2 minutes and then he's up acting it out and doing that. And in our industry, we get to keep that creativeness, and yet we also get to do the business side. And that's one thing we have really fun with our haunt is that, you know, we'll talk to them. And if kids are really interested in the business side, we'll kind of walk them through. This is how something is done. But I think it's a perfect industry for kids to get in on. Like the little girl you were talking about, it's so creative that it's perfect for children because they can wrap their mind around the imagination and the play that we do. And it's the perfect ground to also start to show them the business aspects. I laugh when people will get on my Facebook page and say, when are you going to start planning the haunted house? Or when are you going to start planning for the Zombie Fest? We do this 12 months out of the year. We take about a 2-week break and we're right at it. It's more of a legitimate business. So, I mean, when you talk about hardships in the industry, it's not being a female. It's trying to explain to the public that doing a haunted house is a legitimate business that, you know, we have our lawyer, we have our accountant, you know, we have all of the normal things that everybody else has. It's a true job. And I think that's more where trying to train the public into what we do more than, you know, going up to the males in the industry and saying, I'm here, take me seriously. I think at this point in time, we've kind of crossed a lot of that hurdle.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that one. I get more than anything, wait, there's a haunted house industry?
Yeah.
Not you're a female in that industry? There's like, wait, you're going to a trade show? It's big enough to have a trade show? You know,
we're going to another one.
My wife doesn't get this whole haunted house thing, but she sees how excited I am doing this. She's like, okay, go have fun. I'm going on vacation too. Bye.
Yeah. But, you know, I had it on the other side. I was dating this guy, and I was just like, it's Halloween, and it's so great, and it's this. He's like, I grew up in Australia. Halloween doesn't exist for me. I'm like...
And you're no longer dating that person right now.
Exactly. That is a very true statement.
Stepping back for a second, talking about children getting into the industry and different levels. I've got a client that I train, I do actor training for out in Eastern Ohio called Backwoods Oddities. And it's a husband and wife team, and they've got a 7-year-old daughter. She is the icon character for their haunt. This little girl is incredibly creepy. Her name is Kim. She puts on the mask and the costume. I mean, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. She's so scary. She loves this business so much, and they've involved her the right way. She's involved in every aspect of what they're doing. They're a charity haunt right now. I predict within 2 years they will go pro, and this little girl's going to end up owning that company in 10 to 15 years.
She's the one that was at our Ask an Actor Trainer session?
Yes.
She came up to me afterward, thanked me for the session, said that it was great and everything. And I told her how wonderful she was. I said, so next year you're going to be up here with us? She said, yes, I'm up on the stage. I'm like, all right.
And last night at the costume ball, she and her dad were walking around. She was a little bit unsure, I think, but then her dad says, show them. And she had a teddy bear, and from behind the teddy bear, she pulled out this large knife and instantly didn't seem to be afraid of anything at that point, which is interesting because when I was telling you about I brought my kids to HauntCon and my kids were kind of a little creeped out, they went to the Wolf Brothers and got their faces painted, and as soon as they were painted up to look like little cheetahs and lions and cats, they were like rawr, 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 and chasing after people, and you give them a mask, and now those kids are going to be the next generation, hopefully, that brings up great things in this industry. Well, we're gonna kind of run this down. The trade show floor is about to open. We're right at our 30-minute limit. I want to take the time to thank Michelle and Rebecca. Very interesting conversation. Hopefully some opinions have been changed when people listen to this. Any last things you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to plug? Plug your haunts, plug your walks, anything like that?
Well, all right. I'm really terrible at plugging my company, so I'm going to do it now since you put a microphone in front of me. I have Special Effects Woman Productions. I train haunted house actors, makeup artists, trainers, and management. So if you're looking for any of those services, please get a hold of me. You can find me at spfxwmnprod.com.
spfxwomenprod.com.
Special Effects Woman Productions.
And your haunt is?
And my haunt is Ghoul's Gulch. And the way our haunt is actually structured, my partners own the haunted house, and my company does all of the hiring, training, management, and all the other stuff of it. So I couldn't do what I do without them, and they're amazing about telling people that they can't do what they're doing without me.
Very cool.
Well, the first thing I will say off topic of females is that I love the industry. And when people talk to me about going to it, my favorite thing is how supportive it is. It's not, you know, you'll find two haunts that are even in close proximity that will share, and I love that. We would not have succeeded in our first years if we had other haunt owners helping us. I also have an awesome partner who has never for a moment taken advantage of or thought less of me because I was a female. We equally share it. He's awesome and supportive, and so I think that's a big thing. But for me, I run Eagle Hollow Haunts. That's right outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, and then we do the Lincoln Zombie Fest.
Is there any kind of a website or anything for people to get or see pictures of any of these events?
It's EagleHollowHaunts.com and LincolnZombieFest.com, and we are on our sixth year for that, and we always welcome people. It's a two-day event now, and we're also always up for talking to people about it. Like I said, this industry is so supportive, and I love the fact that there are any number of people in the industry that I can call up and go, help, I'm trying to do this. How did you do it? And they'll share it with you. And we're the same way. If people ever have questions, we want everyone to succeed. If there's one haunt that's great in one city, it only increases the interest in the rest of our events.
All right. Now I'm feeling like a terrible person for not plugging my haunt. Ghoulsgulch.com. You have to go there.
Well, Michelle, Rebecca, thank you so much for taking the time on this very early Sunday morning after the big giant parties to get up out of bed and slough down here to come talk to us on the trade show floor, which is about 2 minutes away from opening. So I'll let you get back to your respective browsing around, buying, running things. Again, a fascinating conversation from a little bit different perspective. Some things we learned, some things we solved, hopefully some problems were solved. Hopefully, you know, things in the 21st century will do nothing but get better over time. And the old, good old boys network, as was said before, will die out, retire, and everything. And it just does nothing but improve the quality of haunts for everybody. Once again, Unknown Scare Actor, Haunt Rocker, Storm. My name is Drew Badger, and the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror, and we are out.
Tree Auction Cherry, Hell to Pay, on the Big Scary Show.
We're going after one.
everybody. Drew Badger once again live at the Big Scary Show with the big boy adult voice going on because I'm back at the body painting thing talking to the Wolf Brothers. No strangers to the Big Scary Show. We had them on at Haunt Con. Nick and Brian, how are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Excellent. You are working on three models, it looks like. You've got Sarah, you've got Melanie, and you've got Ashley. Is that correct? Or Melody?
Melanie.
And you're doing some sort of... Oh, looks kind of almost vaguely, oh, I don't know, how to describe it? Cthulhu-esque, maybe?
Yeah, Lovecraftian. That was the theme.
A very Lovecraftian theory.
Yeah, I actually just read the Dunwich Horror, the Innsmouth one, the Mountains of Madness. I just did...
Neonomicon.
I just did a bunch.
You just read the entire library, it sounds like.
Well,
no, he wrote a bunch of stuff. Still influencing today.
How was the face painting and everything at your booth today?
It was great. We were slammed beyond. We haven't been slammed that slam in a while, so it was nice to go back to the old days of nonstop line and just never quit. So we had to if we took a couple breaks, we still had a 10-person line. It was just. Now, we still haven't had lunch yet. Well, we snagged that piece of pizza there, but yeah, nuts.
Now, the last time we spoke at HauntCon, you guys were getting ready to head over to Italy for some body painting festivals. Right. How'd that turn out?
It was great. We did five cities in about a week and a half, and we got a day off in Rome, and that was awesome. I'd never been there before. So
you have been to Italy before, just not Rome.
Right, yeah. No, I went to Verona and Appy last year, and then we got to do Torino and Milano and Rome and Rimini and Fettuccine and
Tosca, all the other Enies and stuff.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them, bunch of cities out there. But it was great, yeah. And we're going back again to Italy in September, and we're going to add Bologna and
macaroni and
I swear to God, we're gonna have some bologna in bologna. Yeah, they gave me some bologna at, I think we were in Rimini, and we got this, we got the typical, grandma cooked this huge, three course meal or whatever, and one of the appetizers was bologna, only it was in these big square chunks, and it had extra chunks of fat in it. And they were like, "Have you tried this? This is bologna." I'm like, "Yeah, I've had bologna before. That's what they served in jail."
So when are you guys heading back to Italy again?
September. But we're from here. We go to Cincinnati. We're shooting a new book for Impact Books. Our first book, Extreme Face Painting, was such a success. They said, "Let's do another one." Only this one's going to be. Thank you. This one's going to be for kids. It's called Party Time: Face Painting Ideas for Kids. They think that'll sell better than the adult book, but I don't care.
Speaking of kind of like face painting and books like that, you guys walked into the costume vault yesterday, and the first thing I saw you guys do was walk straight over to a rack and say, "Hey, look, Nick, there you are. On the box."
Yeah.
Or was it Brian? Or was it you?
No, it was me. I was they got Spider-Man.
Hey, look, there's my wife on the box.
And that was cool, but I'll tell you what was cooler. All my packaging, the Wolfman, the Zombie, and Dr. Doom, Marvel's Dr. Doom,
yes.
That's who I modeled for, those were all sold out.
Or that they chose not to stock them, right?
Well.
Burn. Okay. No. But that was really cool to walk in and see. And you were the staff was like, "Hey, look, this is me." And they're like, "Oh, no. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, my God." So very,
right
very
on.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a good time yesterday. Yeah, he signed it. And then all these people that were buying stuff looked on the counter. And they're like, "Hey, man, look. That's autograph." Open your eyes, look up.
He is doing some delicate face painting here, so I'm refraining from asking questions lest blindness may occur. So what's next? You guys are, as you said, you're going to Cincinnati, and then you're heading back to Italy?
Then we go to Porschach, Austria for the World Body Painting Festival. I'm going to defend my title as world champion.
Congratulations.
Painter. Thank you. And Nick and I are going to try to reclaim our title as a world champion body painter as well. We'll see how it goes.
Are you going up the guy they call the King of Neon, or as you mentioned yesterday?
Nick was talking about Wolf Reichter.
Yeah.
Well, we don't really compete because we're in the same pack.
I see.
You know, the wolves travel in packs. So, Lona Wolf Kirkengard, Wolf Reichter, they're all the wolf pack.
So, who's alpha male of this pack, though?
Well, Nick and I kind of split that job pretty much. Yeah.
So who's Al and who's Pho?
Whoever is in the moment, whoever's doing the interview at the moment.
There you go. So I'll call you Al. You can call me Al.
Okay, just don't call me late for dinner.
There you go. Well, speaking of, I'll let you get back to this so you can go and have your dinner. As you said, it's been a long time. The face painting looks fantastic and done in about literally 4 minutes here. Fantastic. Well, Nick, Brian Wolf, I wish you guys and you lovely ladies much success in the exhibition tonight. It's not a competition. It's an exhibition. And I hope you guys get lots of really cool pictures.
Contest,
and it's not a contest. And everything goes well. And good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Badger.
Absolutely, guys. Once again, I'm probably going to get thrown out of here because, you know, I'm surrounded by lovely ladies. What can I say? My wife's just going to love seeing this. But once again, Drew Badger here for the Big Scary Show in the body painting room, and I am out. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger once again for the Big Scary Show with the adult voice on because we are kind of in the adult portion of Midwest Haunters, the body painting festival, and I don't want to spook everybody with my loud radio voice. So I'm talking to a new competitor this year, was an assistant, and now is an artist. Stacia, how are you?
I am very well. How are you?
Very good. How long have you been body painting?
I have been body painting for about a year. I've been doing makeup for about 5 years now. I used to paint a lot of abstract portraiture, so this is kind of something that I've really fallen in love with.
So you just kind of made that jump. You were assisted last year, and did you assist any previous years? I know you were working with Keith before.
That was my first year.
Okay.
That was my first year, and then I just started. I bought myself some paints and
just went to town and started seeing it. And how's that been going for you?
It's been going really well. It's amazing what people can do with the body and perspective and paint. And I'm just every day trying to strive to be as good as they are and just working and just so much. There's so much creativity.
Now, who is your model here, and what is the theme that you're doing?
This is...
Can I say my own name?
Katajana.
My name is Katajana.
And I'm doing a phoenix. So
okay,
it's fire
rising from the ashes and all that, which would explain the flames around your neck and head and,
and the
torso
thing,
area.
We'll be doing feathers on her, and yeah.
Okay, so it's not just going to be paint. You're going to have a whole collection of stuff attached.
Well, I have talons for her to put on and a beak as well, so made out of thermoplastic. And and then we're doing her hair. It's going to be, we're having a stylist come, and it's going to be an extreme mohawk.
Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah, to kind of bring that all out.
And how long have you been modeling things like this?
Well, I've only started body painting for about a year now. But I've been modeling previously for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
I think this makes 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how does one actually come up with a body painting model for a competition like this? Do you have to go through an agency? Do you just have a friend and say, hey, come and take your clothes off and paint?
I'm a friend.
Oh, okay.
Definitely a friend. And we've worked together quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think just the more you get out there, it's amazing how many people, because it isn't, you know, I mean, of course, they don't have clothes on, but everyone understands that
it's
art.
Clothing.
Yeah, you know, it's an art. It isn't naked girls, and so many people really want to be a part of that. It's
unlike amazing. When the gamers are usually here. Then
it is
so fun watching those guys that they're trying to peek their heads over the wall, trying to look at the competition.
Oh, I know, and then just some of the women I've brought here, and you know, they're not naked, and the gamers are
Have you ever run into any problems with people saying, oh, you paint naked women, you know, Bible Belt where I live, you know, something like this is probably generally frowned upon more than it is up in this area. But
I haven't. You know, Columbus is such an artistic town, though. Mm. And, you know, and people are very, very supportive. My husband's very supportive of this. Unbelievable.
Why wouldn't
so
he
I
be?
My 23-year-old son, for some reason, is cool with this, too.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Now, it did take my mother a little while to get used to the whole body painting.
I could see it from that perspective, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, once she saw what we do, she's very...
Yeah, she's gotten much better about it, and she's going to be here tonight to actually watch the show, and she's so excited.
And has she seen the design yet?
No.
What you're going in? So they have no idea. They may not even recognize you.
Right. She has no idea.
Oh, very, very cool. Do you have a website or anything where people can see samples of your work?
Right now I'm just on Facebook. You can look me up at The Painted Magpie. And, yeah, get a hold of me that way.
Very, very cool. Well, Stacia, thank you very much.
Thank you
and
so much.
And I'll let you pronounce the name again.
Katajana.
Very nice to meet
or
you
Kat.
Again. And I wish you guys good luck today. You have a great time. Much success. I know it's not a true competition as much as an exhibition, but everything's looking really, really good here. I like the stenciling work and the stuff up there and the pre-detail. And best of luck tonight, and I'm sure we'll see some people just going, oh, my God, that's amazing.
So, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Especially as a first-year competitor, you're very proud of your work. And it looks great. So.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Once again, Drew Badger live here at the Midwest Competition Body Art Competition, I should say. We're not doing necessarily the haunting stuff right now. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at the Midwest Haunters Convention. I've got my deep adult voice on because, as usual, I have been granted, and I thank them very much, exclusive access to the body painting area where several artists and several models are getting painted for the big masquerade ball and body art exhibition tonight. I'm speaking with Keith Newsom, who's from the local area, Columbus, Ohio, with the Scaratorium. Keith, how's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm excellent. You have the lovely Nicole today that you're painting. What are you, exactly is it that you are doing tonight?
Basically, this is a female version of my character, Snappy the Clown.
And that's Snappy from the Scaratorium in Columbus.
Correct. Yeah.
So what is, so you've told me that she's wearing a corset. Are you saying that Snappy wears a corset as well?
Or? Well, no, not really.
Oh, okay.
Snappy wears a full costume, a full clown outfit. I would just always try to come up with something different for my actresses and my models to become a character. And for the past couple of years, I've done a scarecrow and a voodoo doll. Nicole was my scarecrow last year, and a witch doctor before that. So it's It seems like it's easier for them to get into the character if I create something for them like that.
How long have you been doing body painting like this?
5 years.
And how many years at the convention?
5 years at the convention is where I first started.
So you got your start doing it this way.
Yes.
Very, very cool. Yeah, let me let you finish doing that a little bit there.
All right, you're fine.
Do you prefer any particular type brands over others, or do you just, you know, what can you recommend for people who kind of want to get into bodybuilding or body painting? What's a good a brand name to work with? Because I'm assuming that body painting is not necessarily the same kind of makeup that you would use for your face. I could be
actually,
wrong on that.
No, it actually is.
It is. Okay.
I use Paradise for most of my stuff, mainly for use of my models because, just like in our haunt attraction, when you put this stuff on, you want it to be able to come off pretty quickly.
Right.
And this will come off just with soap and water, and that's what I like. Wolf Brothers paint I also use sometimes because their paint is goes on very smooth and very good. It's very nice to work with Limeworks and stuff like that. It does stain a little more, so I tend to use Paradise more often than anything.
Mm-hmm. No airbrushing, though?
Well, I'm a firm believer in do what you know. And I have done airbrush, but I prefer to do brush and sponge because I have more of a control with it.
Sure. And this is an exhibition. This is not a competition. Is that correct?
Correct. We wanted to have basically a laid-back, fun experience for everybody, including our models, where there's no real competition. Nobody's fighting against somebody else.
You just don't want cat fights in the during a masquerade ball.
We just, well, unfortunately, with that, there's nothing that you can tear off, so you can't really tear off somebody's clothes. Unless
that
you
is true. I hadn't thought about that way.
But that would be fun to see.
So for anybody out there, go in the Columbus area. Make sure you go check out the Scaratorium where Keith Newsom does Snappy the Clown.
Snappy the Clown.
Snappy the Clown, and prepare to get your socks scared off. But yet he is also an avid body painter. So, Keith, I wish you and Nicole very much success tonight in the body painting competition, and I will let you get back to your work.
Thank you, sir.
Once again, Badger here live at the Midwest Haunters Convention for the Big Scary Show, and I am out.
Hi, this is Calliope from the Dent Schoolhouse, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Elevator Confessions. Elevator Confessions. You are never alone. Never alone.
How else to say it? She was the one that brought, like, the sexiness to the show.
Oh,
whoa.
You're ready.
You made it.
Sorry.
Are you guys going to live?
19?
Yeah,
19.
Oh, I thought we were high.
Anything else?
Yes.
Do I hear 20? 20. 20. Okay.
I want 13.
7. I'll take 7.
And these Keno numbers keep coming up in a row. Look at that.
I heard there was a casino nearby.
Going up.
Going up.
here.
Thank you very much, dear.
You're welcome very much, dear. See how she talks to you?
That's because she's not my mom. She's your mom.
I don't get none of that.
Get off, you stupid ass.
I
can
see that's what I get.
She says she loves you. All right, when you're ready, we'll be here.
It's really comfy. Chelsea, you made me feel like that.
You it up, you son of a bitch.
Ow.
You see it?
Oh, I'm supposed to say something.
I told that woman that you beat me. I told her.
You guys want to buy some crystal meth or anything?
He likes crystal meth.
Meth sauce, that's what I like.
Check what
it is.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so via some social media this week, I saw some comments about how things went down on their bus trip during one of the recent conventions going to some of the tours. And they were complaining. They're going, oh, it's too loud, too rowdy, not enough clothing was on. Alright, how much of a stick in the mud are you that you have to do the modern equivalent of writing your senator to complain about honors and conduct on a bus trip? I get it. Not everybody's into the bathroom humor and stuff. Me, myself, no, I don't like it either. You know, sometimes people can get too rowdy and stuff. But I don't stand up and go, oh, no, not on my lawn, you crazy kids. No, you get hit in the head with candy, you throw it back. Or unless it's good candy and you keep it. I mean, you be part of it. You gotta relate to it. And you're there to have fun, not be a stick in the mud. Let's listen to Warren's Welk and look at the scenery the whole time. And then let me tell you this. If you can't connect with people who are in the same concept of you, you know, owners, operators, you know, people really involved with Haunt to take the time and money to go do a bus trip like this, you can't connect with your actors. Because I can assure you, anything I've ever seen go down on a bus on a tour is nothing compared to what happens after hours in the actors' lofts. And, all right, those are kids. They're letting off steam. It can get crazy. You gotta be able to relate to that and know how to put them and check them in their place. You complain, you yell, you go in screaming and, you know, lock it down like detention, you're not gonna have an acting crew left. So, you know, make that connection! Until next time, keep every minute scary.
Get your Stormy Rant fix in 140 characters on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
HauntMinute.com.
The Dead Giveaways. Last night on the Big Scary Show. Big Scary Show.
Body, hurry before the dawn, throw it underneath the
house to make us soon he's gone. Butcher the rest of his body, hurry before the dawn. Throw it underneath the house to make us soon he's gone. Butcher the rest of his body.
Honors the unknown scare actor here for the big scary show at the Midwest Honors Convention, and I'm standing in front of a booth that says the Torture Factory Rust Dust. So I had to walk up and ask, what is rust dust? I'm standing here with Ryan Wade, and Ryan, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your product?
Yes, sir. Our product is a new version of rust dust that we've got. It's basically a metal shavings and an activator that you can sprinkle on any latex paint or any paintable object. And magically, in 30 minutes or less, you'll have rust.
And it works just that simple. You get instant rust.
Yes, sir. Just if you can spray or sprinkle glitter on glue, then you can actually use our product.
Okay. And Brandon was telling me you can use, I guess, different layers or levels to get a different type of rust effect.
Yes, sir. The more activator you use on the product, the darker and the deeper rust you'll get, the deeper red you'll have. It starts out at more of a yellowish color, and then, like I said, as you add more activator, it's going to get deeper and deeper. You can also add more layering to it, more effect. Basically, we recommend adding sand or dirt or something to your latex paint to give you some texture, more texture to it. But other than that, all your rust is the dust itself. You're not going to be wasting your money on latex paint that we're going to sell you. We're not Sherman Williams. All we're basically doing is trying to sell you the base product, the dust, and the activator.
Okay. And, well, unfortunately, it doesn't translate well to radio, but I can tell you I'm looking at some of the props here, and it doesn't get much more realistic than this. The level of rust, they've got different levels here from slightly rusty to old rusty. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you an opportunity to plug your site or any other social media information you want to give to the listeners out there.
Yeah, you can check us out on the web. We're on Facebook, at Torture Factory at Facebook, Dr. Torture at Facebook. We're also torturefactory@gmail.com is a website. And you also see us at booth 415 here at the show for the rest of the night.
All right, great. Well, Ryan, I enjoyed it. It's something I'm looking forward to because I've got some ideas for a prop I'm going to be doing at the Dent Schoolhouse. So we'll definitely be talking before the end of the show. Thanks very much. This is the Unknown Scare Actor, and I am out.
Hiya, honeys. This here's Hazel from the Midwest Haunted Houses Convention. But you can find me at Forsaken Haunted House in Mentor, Ohio. And I'm here for the Big Scary Show!
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out the Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and the Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show out here on the trade show floor. Wandering around, seeing all the new vendors, and yet coming back and talking to the old familiar vendors, too. We are at one of my personal favorite booths, Screamline Studios, home of some of the coolest weapons. Mr. Jason, Mr. Steve of Screamline Studios, gladly taking the time to talk to me today. How are you guys doing?
Oh, awesome, man. Awesome. Having a great show. Just loving it.
You guys at the party last...
Flattery will get you everywhere.
I would hope so. The party last night, your opinions...
A lot of fun, a lot of debauchery.
crazy as always. And,
you don't remember a single minute of it.
No, I don't. Not a bit. But I know this. Nobody does it like Hunter's doing.
That is
no
for sure.
Doubt about it.
Very, very cool. So what's the new stuff going out with Screamline these days? I heard mention of some sort of off-worldly type products that you might be rolling out.
Well, we're going to release a couple aliens.
With the Screamline touch.
Oh, course. Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Not your typical aliens.
Yeah, it's unique with a flare, you know. And bringing back Sluggo. Everyone's been.
Everyone's been. You heard it here first, folks. I should lead off Deadline News with that. Screamline bringing back Sluggo. Details on the next show.
Probably come out with some, probably a couple new weapons, since that's our bread and butter, as you guys know.
Oh, yes.
Deviate from that a little bit. With
best weapons
thing.
In the business.
The originals, often imitated but never duplicated.
Oh, that's so cliche.
I know, but it's so true.
You know, you can't argue with truth, can you?
No, you can't.
And, of course, we always have our latex available for people, whether it be doing masks, yeah. You know, doing facial
cleansers. Our undiluted latex. We don't dilute our latex. It's thick. It's creamy. It's like pudding. Comes right from the factory that way, and we have not raised our prices in several quarters, even though we've been getting price increases from our vendors. So just want to keep it as low as we can for our Han friends out there, because we all know people are working off a budget. So
that's right. Absolutely.
So we can't argue with that. Screamline doing their part to keep the economy in check by not raising their prices on their quality latex. Now, the weapons, on the other hand, are up 300%, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, sorry, I had to cut corners.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, they're just not sharp. They don't look like weapons. They just look like pieces of plastic you picked off the floor and covered
that's
in
right.
blood.
We're gonna come
that's
with
our stealth weapon.
Our exclusive cardboard weapon line for those that have a very low budget. Guaranteed to last maybe one.
Until the first rain.
Not even. Maybe 20 minutes if you're walking away.
Yeah. If we're so how's Midwest been treating you so far this year?
Midwest Honor Convention is always a great show. We love coming here. We've been doing it from day one. Since they first started it, we're a longtime vendor. Barry, Kathy, Nina, Kelly, they all do a great job. We're just so pleased to be a part of this.
You know, there'll be 10-year anniversary next year.
That's hard to believe. Now I really feel old.
You look old, too. It's the gray hair there and all that. Yeah. Better to turn gray than turn loose, right, Jason? Yeah. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, we go back to Cooper Stadium, very first year. So, you know, everyone out here has always opened up their arms, and we open it right back to them and say thank you, you know. So, again, thank you, MHC. Thank you.
And thank you, Screamline Studios, for being a very, very supporter of not only the haunt industry, but haunt podcasts such as ourselves. We love you guys. Been listening to podcasts year after year after year after year. Always hear your name mentioned with a number of them. Well, at least one or two. But we know you guys are a big supporter of the industry, and that's why we love you guys so terribly much. And we're not just doing this because you might be starting our brand new giveaway coming sometime soon after Midwest. Stay tuned for more details. But once again, Steve Martini, Jason, I can never pronounce the last name, Blazak, something like
that.
That's how it usually sounds, especially after the parties.
That's right. Yep.
From Screamline Studios, this is Drew Badger, once again at the Midwest Haunters Convention for the Big Scary Show, and I am out.
So I got some new spices, and tell me, is this kind of nutty?
Okay, that's
does
good.
Smell, yeah, does this smell kind of nutty? Skinny guy came through. What the hell are you? Beef jerky with feet? And someone goes, what are you, a vegetarian? I got some special salad dressing for you. You know, I tried to keep it clean. I said once, but it was Gus.
One,
it was Gus.
Oh, okay.
So no, I said damn it, Storm.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, we can review it.
You know, so like Gus
did
came.
Say damn it, Storm.
Oh, good.
So some guy, you know, if they came through and they recognized me, like bang, bang, I stay in character, but I'm like, ooh, look at you, you're like an all-you-can-eat Vegas buffet. So that's my way of acknowledging them. One guy came through, this couple came through, white guy, black guy, and a girl with big boobs. I went, white meat, dark meat, dumplings. The hair. So he comes through and he's looking at me. I go, good God, boy, you're as pitiful as a zombie with it. for a skinny zombie. And he looked at me, he just started laughing. So they move into the next room. And he realized I'm wasting my time trying to do it, scare the zombie army. Yeah. He goes to the other, next room, they're backed up.
So you're him.
Yeah. That
way. I just went like this and I went.
And he goes, shit.
Remember that one thing from your haunt last year, which just still gives you goosebumps because it looked that good? Well, don't let it rest in peace. The 2013 Haunted Halloween Calendar is accepting photo submissions. Go to HectorTurner.com, find out all the details, and submit your photo before July 29th to give goosebumps to the entire world.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger at the Midwest Haunters Convention, wandering the trade show floor, and I'm walking past a very interesting line of cool jewelry and clothing, and then another very interesting person with the horns on his head, and it just happens to be Joe Soakey, the owner of Surreal Perversions. Joe, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, girl?
I'm all right. Boy, speaking of girls, man, I had no clue that was you when we got off the bus the other day, and then I was like, yeah, I think that is Joe, and of course you snubbed me as I walked by, but we'll get over that.
Well, you're the one that grabbed me in the butt, so I was a little offended.
Well, you did look like you were a really hot chick, actually.
Thank you. I tried.
But, you know, so tell us a little bit about Surreal Perversions. I understand you're kind of a new vendor to this, and tell us what you got here.
Yeah, it's my second year doing it. Every single thing that I make is one-of-a-kind, custom-made. I never repeat a costume. And it's something that I fell in love with, and everybody said, why don't you try getting a booth and try selling it? And it's taken off more than expected.
Well, you've got lots of ladies here and a couple of guys just kind of browsing and checking everything here. I mean, since you've been open. I mean, obviously. At the moment, it's primarily ladies looking through the really cool jewelry stuff, the cups, the saucers, the just really good accessories for any kind of a haunted attraction.
Exactly. I'm one of those people, I have an eclectic taste, so I figure why not share that eclectic taste and see who else likes it.
Yeah, because haunters are not known to be eclectic, right?
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. We're very narrow-minded.
Do you just go out and sew this stuff, or do you kind of like take existing outfits, distress them, and modify them?
A little bit of both. I make some things completely from scratch, and other things it's a thrift store find that needs a lot of help, but I said no problem doing it.
Do you do custom orders, or do you basically just think, oh, this would look good with something?
Oh, absolutely, I'll do custom orders. I've done a couple, and I've done actually a couple for Jackie Steiner, for anybody who happens to know her.
Oh, yes, we know Jackie very well. Very lovely girl, and very good model for photography and all. And uses some of your products, I'll bet.
Oh, one or two.
Or a dozen. You're also a makeup and costumer out at 100 Acre Manor in Pittsburgh. How was your season last year?
Exorbitantly well. Set records for ourselves this year.
Yeah, I know I saw you at HauntCon when they were doing the haunt tour out there, and managed to chat with you briefly, but I did not know about this new company you've got going here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely still new to me. I still feel like I'm wandering around here, and everybody else is looking down on me, but whatever, I'm selling more stuff than I see most.
So for anybody interested in checking out maybe your line or anything like that, how can they get a hold of you?
You can either get a hold of me through surrealperversions@gmail.com or my phone number, 920-606-5684.
So no website yet, no
Not
Facebook
yet.
Or anything
Not
like that?
Not yet, in the very soon future.
So is surrealperversions.com on the horizon then?
Fingers crossed.
Very good. Joe, it's been a pleasure getting to speak with you again.
Oh, you as well, sir.
Best of luck with Surreal Perversions, cool clothing, distressed clothing, custom, kind of a gothic, Victorian, steampunk, whatever you want to do it, custom jewelry, everything you need for your haunted house, SurrealPerversions.com. Hopefully coming soon here at the Midwest Haunted Convention. Joe, thanks again for speaking with us.
Oh,
it's a big,
you.
Scary show. Drew Badger, and I am out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Jimmy Talkington and Thornweb Designs. ThornwebDesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at HauntAudio.com. Von Caron Productions. Von Caron, VonCharon. Screamline Studios at screamlinestudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Haunt Rocker, Jerry Vane, pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter at Big Scary Show. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.
This is Killer Katie
and Diana
from Forsaken Haunted House in Menor, Ohio,
and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Yeah!